Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day out there. I hope you're able to enjoy it. We're going to have a very busy day this morning. So we'll be here till noon, taking your phone calls. First hour, I'd like to dedicate to open phones. If you got something on your mind, there's a lot going on. The first hour is the time to we can handle it. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll have the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell, will be here with us. Obviously, you can call in and talk with the mayor, ask him any question you want. He's more than happy to field those questions. 10 o'clock hour, we'll have Mike Minogue. Mike Minogue won the Republican convention, for what that's worth. And so did Ann Prensley, but it looks like she's not going to be on the ballot. I don't know. But Mike Minogue will be here in the 10 o'clock hour, talk about a lot of the things that are going on in the state with his campaign, state issues. There's a really important story to read at bostonherald.com about a Trump tax program that the Republicans and most people in the state would like the state to opt into, but because it's Trump's idea or program, the governor won't do it. It's crazy. So we'll ask Mike Minogue about it, but you can read all about it at bostonherald.com. Tim Dunn wrote the article. Really important article about educational taxes, tax credits, things like that are really important to parents out there. So 508-996-05, that'll be in the 10 o'clock hour. If you missed my interview yesterday with Paul Overstreet, Paul, of course, is a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame, written a ton of hits. Those podcasts are available up at wherever you get your podcasts from. And, I'm really proud of that interview. It's not a new direction for the show, but just a casual detour, right? Music is very important to me, very important to a lot of you, and really important to our culture. So anytime you can get a person of Paul Overstreet's stature and accomplishments to call into the program, I'm certainly going to jump at it. And we'll get his son. Many of you know his son as well. We'll get his son on later in the summer. It is summer now. So last night, the city council had a meeting, and I know that a lot of you out there are under the impression that somehow the city council is going to be able to save the Tarquin Hill Fire Station. And you're under that impression, because they've certainly given you that impression. But if there's no money, if they can't find the money, and if the mayor says he wants to go in a different direction because of financial pressures, that's the end of the story. I certainly would like to see the personnel from the fire department preserved. I'd certainly like to see that fire station open and functioning. But if the city council can say whatever they want, but they don't have the power to appropriate the money, it's the mayor. So you're going to hear a lot from city councilors. But unless they're personally going to write a check, and even that obviously is not enough, it's still up to the mayor. The mayor has a ton of discretion in the city of New Bedford. That's how your charter is written. And your charter, for lack of a better example, is like your constitution here in America. Everything's got to be within the framework of the Constitution. Everything's got to be within the framework of the city charter. And certainly, I'll give the platform to anybody that wants to come on and make an argument. If they're an elected official, they've certainly earned the right to come on the program. But I don't really see what the city council can actually do to save the Tarquin Hill Station. Senator Montigny was able to put an amendment to the budget, the Senate budget, for $500,000. And with all the legal restrictions, that the money only be used for Station 9, Tarquin Hill. But that's not enough. And if the mayor doesn't want to preserve that station, or literally, I guess the better way to put it, if the mayor has come to the determination with his financial team that the city can't afford to keep that station open, that's the end of the road, I think. I don't see any other way for the people in the city council to keep that station open. They don't have the ability to do it. I know that there's a lot of people posting on Facebook and holding rallies, and that is an important component to all political arguments today, to build up a Facebook audience, to build up a public knowledge campaign. Because most people, let's face it, go, would you like, if you ask somebody, would you like to have firefighters available to put out a fire at your home or to help you medically? The answer would be a logical yes. Right? I mean, nobody's going to say no, but you got to put the other factors into the conversation. So what I'm saying is that the rallies have been good, and we got people in the city, got Brian Shortsleeve down, who's running for the Republican nomination. Sean Oliver's the city council running for the lieutenant governor. He was down there. That's significant political support. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's enough. You had Brian Gomes there, longtime member of the city council, Ian Abreu, Leo Choquette. In fact, Channel 5, the Boston news station, ran a story this morning on the potential closing, the likely closing of the fire station at Tarquin Hill Road, the loss of firefighters. They had Billy Sylvia, who was on with me yesterday, the president of the union. He was on with Channel 5. Maybe it was last night's news, but I saw it this morning at 5 a.m. The mayor was interviewed. I mean, if you don't have the money, you can't provide the service. And if you live up that way, you've got to decide, does it make sense for you to continue living in a city that can't provide, according to the firefighters? Because remember, the mayor says that we can reduce, he can reduce staffing to 3 firefighters per apparatus and still provide adequate fire protection, personal protection, right? With a reasonable response time. That's the mayor's position. He's looked at it every which way. The firefighters, however, tell us, and they certainly know their profession, that that cannot be done. That fire response times, we heard Billy Sylvia say yesterday, you can listen to the podcast, that fire response times will be suboptimal. And you won't have enough people, enough skilled professional firefighters to respond. So you, the taxpayer, you, the resident, the property owners, have to decide, does it make sense anymore for you to pay what's going to be an increasing tax bill to live in a city, depending on where you live, that's going to have, thank you, Tim, that's going to have reduced, according to the firefighters. The mayor says it will not be suboptimal. It'll be adequate. The professional firefighters telling us they disagree. So you got to decide what you're going to do in with what is, for most people, their real estate is their largest investment. It's where they got most of their savings, their home. And it's where you sleep at night. So it's really important that you you feel safe when you do it. 508-996-0500. I'm curious, if you live in the response area for Tarkland Hill, that's Wards 1 and Wards 2, do you think it's going to be okay if the fire station is closed, if the firefighters are reduced? Think that's going to be okay? Or do you think, no, and I'm getting out? Right? I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'd like to hear it. And I think it's important that you get it out. 508-996-01. Take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-05.
Welcome back to the program. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Looks like it'll be a good day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley. Stop on by. We got some people on hold. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How's it going,
sir? Good. What's happening?
Hey, I'm over here. People must be looking at me like a weirdo. I'm over here laughing at myself. Make it make sense, Chris. You know, maybe I'm the weird one. You're talking about the firefighters who do it every day and run into buildings that are on fire that are saying that this wouldn't work, right? That it's unsafe, so on and so forth.
Yes.
And then you have somebody that goes to work in a suit and tie every day, sits at an office and talks to people saying that it will work. Who do you trust?
So the thing is that it is hard for me to fathom that the mayor would, in good conscience, put people at in harm's way if he didn't have to, right? In other words, if he could really afford the fire station, because he's taken a tremendous reputational risk, right? I mean, if people die in a fire, firefighters get really hurt. God forbid they die like one in Boston. People's homes burn down. He's going to pay a severe price, I would think, psychologically, not just reputationally, right?
Regardless, you're in a difficult spot, right? It's a tough decision that you got to make. It's either raise taxes or shut down the firehouse. Basically.
Well, they're doing both, actually.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, so yeah, but taxes would be significantly higher than what they're I'm assuming. And I just don't see how it makes sense. You ever watch those videos online, like the Sovereign Citizen videos?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I try not to, but
yeah, and then like basically, it's I kind of see it like that. You have someone who's, you know, I understand you've got constraints. You have to make tough decisions. But then you have people who do it every day, the experts in the field that are saying, this is crazy. You know what I mean? And again, thinking public safety, that's the number one priority. I think that's where we should be focused and where our heads should be at, is like making sure the public is safe. Doing whatever we had to do. And I understand it's going to be a difficult decision, but it's like, come on, man. Like, you know, you have a bunch of people that are experts. Like, hey, here's a solution. throw on a hat and some clothes and go on a ride along. Run into a burning house, and then I'll respect whatever decision you make after that. But until you're there doing it, it's kind of tough to make those decisions or to kind of, you know, have that perspective, because it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do it. You know what I mean? Everybody's a Monday morning quarterback, but when you're in the moment, you have a whole different perspective on what's going on.
You mean, is it time to elect a firefighter as mayor?
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Why not? You know what I'm saying? I understand. It's a tough decision regardless.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But when, you know, when you think about public safety, when you think about where that specific firehouse is located, you know, you just saw it with, what was it, the River's End, right? That caught on fire in the Acushnet. And
yep.
When you play into that, you play into, like, the airport is right around the corner, you know.
You've got New Bedford Regional Vocational and Technical High School right down the street. You've got a ton of them. You got
all of those industrial factories on Church Street. You know what I mean? You have a lot of things in that immediate area. I don't know. So it's a tough decision. But again, I tend to, you know, go with the experts, the people that actually run into the buildings and do the work that only a few of us would dare to do.
Right. I understand. Thank you for the call, and thanks for the contribution to the program. I totally am sympathetic with your position. But the mayor has to look at the whole city, okay? And he's been running the city now for, what, 12 or 13 years? And he's got the full picture in mind, and he understands what you can pay for, what you can afford, and what you can't afford. You know, your career should be as solid as the work you do. Citywide Glass is hiring. We are hiring a growing team that values quality, integrity, and service. Citywide Glass is expanding and looking for motivated individuals to join our crew. Whether you're a pro in the field or great with people, we have a spot for you. We are currently hiring auto and residential glass technicians, customer service and front counter sales associates, and account receivable representatives. Enjoy competitive pay, a strong company culture, and real opportunities to move up. Make the safe choice for your future. Apply today at Citywide Glass. Citywide Glass is in Dartmouth and Fall River, and online at citywideglass.net, 508-996-0500. As it is most times, it's open phones. We are having a nice conversation about the firefighters, the closing of Station 9, Tarklin Hill Road, which services Ward 1 and Ward 2, big areas of the city. And they were on Channel 5 this morning. Billy Sylvia and the mayor, Billy, of course, the head of the union, he was on with me yesterday. And the mayor is saying he literally cannot afford to keep that fire station open. So what does that say about the city of New Bedford, the direction of the city? You, if you're a stockholder, right, a property owner, a taxpayer in the city of New Bedford, how does that make you feel? Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. What's happening?
You know, our good buddy there, Paul Oglestreet, needs to write a new song.
All right.
Them career politicians are trying to stick it to you every day you work, the live long day. I'm going to give him an idea for his next song.
Okay. He's listening, hopefully, so go ahead.
Hopefully he's listening. And our friend Lenny.
Yes. Lenny's flying home right now.
Yeah, he is flying home.
Right now.
He's a good guy.
Good guy.
The mayor... 12 years, or should I say going close to 14 years, the guy's a failure. All of a sudden now the wheels are coming off. It's all political theater, whether it's social media or in front of the news camera. Our property taxes are going up $16 million. You're going to see some cuts that were proposed, $16 million of cuts. at the same time, we have a lot of nonprofit organizations, according to IntelliSpec, the company that goes out and puts reports of all cities and states about, you know, the nonprofits. Here in New Bedford, they put out a report. 336 nonprofit organizations that they account for an aggregate $2 billion in revenue. They employ over 13,000 individuals. What are they going to be their contribution to public safety and the day-to-day cost of operations? We haven't heard one thing from the mayor's office. Isn't that convenient?
Well, I know that Naomi Carney put together, when she was city council president a few years ago, a pilot committee, payment in lieu of taxes, to look into that. I don't think Shane Burgo continued that committee when he became president. I'm not sure if Ryan Pereira has continued that committee. But I know that Naomi Carney put forward a committee to at least look at stuff along the lines of getting payments out of nonprofits. Now, it may have been that there weren't enough nonprofits in the city of New Bedford. I'd find that hard to believe, but there may not have been enough big ones. Like the mayor has pointed out, you got all the universities in Boston that pay. You've got some in Providence that pay. The only big one I can think of, but I never looked at the material that the pilot committee came up with. But
you know what they came up with in Telespect? Religion and related 56 organizations. This is just New Bedford.
Okay.
Human Services, 34. Education, 32. Arts, Culture, and Humanities, 30. Recreation and Sports, 22. Community Improvement Capacity Building Nonprofits, 22. Public and Social Benefits, 16. Healthcare, 12. So they can pay a little fee, you know, to help us with all of this. But you know what the bigger picture and the mayor don't want to tell you? This city's headed towards Chapter 9. I don't see any way around it. I have no confidence in the mayor, the city council, and our state delegation. We've been shortchanged state aid year over year, and now we got a boondoggle of $32 million on our lap. And we're going to pay more taxes, and then the state's going to take over. So it don't matter how many people you vote for, who you vote for, if the state takes over, forget about it. They're going to do whatever they want, and they're going to make cuts. Believe me, the cuts that the mayor don't want to do because he don't have the cojones.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Is the state looking at taking over the city of New Bedford? I think we're a long way from there, personally. But certainly, I'm not in on the conversations. I'd be as shocked as anybody else. 508-996-0500. It is a matter of math, really. Let's go back to the phones. Thank you for holding. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good. What's happening?
Hey, Chris, as I listen on and off, I turn on, and it's been a constant talk about the budget. And you know something? It's, in a way, it's kind of frustrating because people are so, like, reactive. The mayor's been mayor for over 10 years, and every year his budget has increased. And every year it's been approved without no question. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you expect almost 10 years later? And the thing is, the facts are the facts. This is what you have to do. Property taxes have to go up. To the max.
Yeah.
No. I mean, 2.5% has to go up. The council has to come back in. They have to raise the property tax by a couple of cents more, or maybe even a dollar more.
Well,
this is what has to happen.
Okay.
The bills have to be paid.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying, if you want to be realistic, people are frustrated, and I get it. But the water's under the bridge. It's done now. It's too late for this now. Now you have to react to the mess that's in front of you. As you know, in your house, when things go wrong, you have to improvise and say, okay, I got to put this off like to now, or I got to pay this now. It's come to the point you have to pay this now. So you got to get extra income. For people in the private sector, they go work an extra job. They go work a part-time job. When it comes to the government, you got to raise the taxes. Now, in the same light, the people that got you into this mess, it's going to take a while to change the people that are in there. So you have to look at it and go into one and protesting at a fundraiser here and there. It's not going to do it. It's going to be a constant drumbeat that you want a different way, a form of government in your area. And until that happens, this is going to be a lot of people ramping and raving, banging the pots and pans. And this time next year, everybody knew Bedford, and it isn't just Bedford, it's the Haven, it's the town of Dartmouth. We're all going to be paying more taxes because we put the same mindset of people into the office. We need a different form of mindset. We need a person to go in and say, listen, this has to be cut. We don't need this. In the same token, there's only so much a mayor like can do and the selectmen like can do in towns. It goes down to the state, Chris, and you know that very well. When the state does unfunded mandates, the biggest thing is pensions. That's an unfunded mandate. There's no reason this day and age that people in the government sector can't have a 401k,
right,
and you match up to 2 to 3% of the first 5%. And if you leave, you take it with you.
Right.
Job done. Not for the rest of your life. You get a pension and you get health care. It's not like that in the real world, and it shouldn't be like that in the government. This is the issues we have. So until that gets addressed, people are wasting their time. Because you're talking about something that's not going to change. You want to be proactive. You got to get different people in there, which is going to take a while. And you got to take your medicine. And the medicine is the taxes have to go up. It's done. It's too late. You had 10 years. Every year it's going up. Everybody approves the budgets. And you think money comes out of the sky? I wish I had a machine in the basement, Chris, that prints out money, but I don't.
That's how you lead to inflation anyway. You don't want that.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for my friend. Thank you for the call, and thanks for the contribution program. Listen, the reality of it is... my understanding, taxes are going up in the city of New Bedford and to the limit of 2.5. I think they're even taking some of the levy that they hadn't used before. Again, the mayor will be here at 11 o'clock. We'll have Mike Minogue in the 10 o'clock hour. I think 10:15 he'll be calling in. Switching out people, is that part of the solution? Generally, people are a policy. Until then, you've got to cover the cost. The gentleman is right. Now, here's the thing. The mayor has ruled out, and most of the city councilors have ruled out, the option that Fairhaven is going with, a Prop 2.5 override, which goes to the voters. The voters will decide in Fairhaven on June 9th if they want to raise their property taxes to cover the expenses of the town. Last time around, it failed. I'm not optimistic for this time either. But certainly the people who are optimistic are welcome to use this platform to talk about it. But is that what the city of New Bedford wants? A proposition 2.5 override? The mayor's ruled that out. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
You are.
Thank you.
Now, like, you look at Westport, right? They don't have a lot of fire stations or Dartmouth, right?
Right.
What do they have, one or two?
I'm not sure how many they each have, but I know Dartmouth has a volunteer fire department.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. There's a, and so does the other one. So, I mean, why can't we do something like that?
Well, I don't think of, maybe, but I don't think a volunteer fire department would work for the city of New Bedford. You've got a long time professional fire department. And I don't think, I mean, there's a major difference, obviously, between the city of New Bedford and the town of Westport, as an example, right? So what works in Westport still, probably wouldn't work in New Bedford. Maybe.
I know, but it's still a lot of area to cover for one fire station. And how many apparatuses do they have? So I don't know about this, you know what I'm saying? We're looking at it in a different way. You can look at it the way I'm looking at it. Plus, what about, how many stations do we have in New Bedford right now? Do you know?
I don't off the top of my head. I mean, I could go through it. But the point being is, you think it's okay to, I'm wondering, do you think it's okay to reduce the number of fire stations and still have adequate coverage?
Yeah, I don't think we needed that that big monstrosity that he built down the south end.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we needed that, and now he wants to make another one, another police station. I'm against all that. Like I said, we don't have the money for that. You know, when you get the money, it's another story. But he's doing things before the money's there.
I do know that the new police station headquarters, that's been put on the back burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I can't remember what I was going to say. That happens all the time when I call up.
All right. That's okay. Thanks for calling, though. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Bye. You too. Bye, Chris.
508-996-0500. Again, you've got pressures. Every community's got them. But the mayor and the city council primarily have ruled out doing a Proposition 2.5. Not officially the city council, but as I've polled individual members, most importantly the president, Ryan Pereira, he ruled it out. He's ruled it out here, I believe, on the air with Tim, but also in my private conversations during the crossover when I run into the city council president here. He said, no 2.5 override to fund services. And you know, they're doing that here in Fairhaven. At least the town meeting, the Board of Selectmen, the town meeting, voted to put it on the ballot. Ultimately, the people make the final decision. And that would be the case in the city of New Bedford. But the mayor is trying to avoid that. He is avoiding it by reducing services. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes, good morning. My
friend. Hey, what's happening?
You need a new mayor. That's what's happening. You need a new set of eyes to take a look at the budget and see if you come up with something new. Again, a big job to do. I don't know if anybody really wants it, even if they're qualified. You need a qualified person.
Yes.
I would wish John Mitchell the best. Maybe he'd get an offer he can't refuse. Maybe Governor Healey would appoint him to be on the Supreme Judicial Court or something like that. He's been there too long. It's too long. It's more of the same, always increasing taxes. Even when he came on in 2012, 2008 was when the support from the state wasn't working. So 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, here he comes, and he still goes up on taxes. So you just found out about that now? So you need somebody new. Cincinnati, where are you?
He's running his law
again,
practice.
It's a terrible job, you know, because I think they might find some things that maybe shouldn't be done. That's the problem you have with a four-year mayor. He's been there too long. Wish him well. I hope he would leave. You need a new set of eyes, and preferably somebody who's not backed by the people that back him and come up with the same old worn out things that you got to go up on taxes. The city can't afford it. We don't have the business that we used to have. What say you, my friend?
Well, I think that the problem is that you got limited economic development in the city of New Bedford. Yeah. You've got a governor hell-bent on making sure, for some reason, there's limited economic development in the whole state. When you look at the outfall from Governor Healey, I think the only thing you can really do, because you're going to be, whether you like John Mitchell or not, he's here for another, year or so, until the election. Yeah, you don't have an election until next year.
Well, when it comes, you got to get on it now. You got to get on it now and find out who's out there that wants to.
But your only option this coming election is to get rid of is to change out the governor.
Well, yeah, I would change your mind. There's no doubt about it. You know that, too.
Oh, yeah.
You made a mistake on that.
I did. We both made a mistake. Hey, look, I thought at the time, I'm not going to explain it again, but it's because it's repetitive. But I thought she was the best option. I wanted to give her a chance.
Me too.
I got, you know, she was wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so was I.
Great agreement on that. But they got to find somebody else who wants to be mayor, who's not going to be a clone of John Mitchell. And I wish him the best. Maybe he'll get an offer he can't refuse because, and off he'll go. But you can't have somebody coming in with the people that are backing him because the money that he has, like you say, and everything. You can't have a clone of John Mitchell come in. A new set of eyes, take a complete different look at the budget and see what can be done. It's a Herculean task, but
Here's the question, though, my friend.
Okay.
Do you see anybody on the horizon who has the competence, the integrity of a John Mitchell that you could sub out
you know who I would want, but I guess he's getting a little too old for the
Yeah, I don't know about old, but he's busy. Scott Lang is really busy with his law firm and his life.
Well, I, that's why I say Cincinnatus. Cincinnatus was busy too, but he put everything aside to save the Republic, you know, that sort of stuff.
Thank you for the call, my friend. 508-996-0500. Take a break. We'll be right back. Stick around. Open phones if it's on your mind. I want to hear about it. Give me a call.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. Well, welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. So we're talking about the closure of the fire station up at Tarkland Hill Road. Service is a major part of the city. And remember, I agree with you, obviously, it's an easy agreement to make, that the firefighters know their job. And you got some tremendous fire professionals working in the city of New Bedford. Or you did, anyway. And it's very hard to discuss their professional abilities and their knowledge, you know, in comparison to the mayor. Obviously, he's not a firefighter. But the mayor has the full grasp, along with his team, of the financial situation of the city of New Bedford, what you guys can afford and what you can't afford. So I think that's got to be taken into consideration about the decisions. And the rallies by the city councilors are really good in the sense that they're informing the public about the situation, but they're in this too. What are they going to attempt to do to try to free up money? They can cut money from certain other expenditures, but is it enough to make up, to save for the services that they are rallying for? Or is it just political theater, which is in some senses required, right? I mean, you got to have theater, theatrics, to get the public involved, to get people on your sheet of music, to recognize we got a problem, but maybe we have a solution. They're not spectators. In other words, the city council are not spectators. They have a role in this. And are they willing to go along with the mayor to make certain changes or not? I mean, it's entirely legitimate to say, no, we're not going to go along with you on this, not going to go along with you on that. But you can't say we don't have any responsibility for the consequences of not going along with certain tough decisions, right? Some people would like it both ways. Like, no, no, I'm all for you. I'm all for you, and I'm all for that, right? I'm all for this and that. Well, you've got reached the point where you can't have this and that. And I know a lot of people don't want to see that, but that's the way it is. You know, May is propane month, and Columbus Energies is showing folks just like you how much propane can do for their home. Learn more about the opportunities propane brings by visiting columbusenergies.com/propane. You should check out that website anyway, columbusenergies.com. Propane heats your home, fuels your appliances, fires up your grill, and keeps your generator ready, if you'll let it. One fuel, a whole lot of value, if you take the opportunity to let it do those things for you, right? Are you missing an opportunity? Thinking about switching to propane? I hope you are. Columbus Energies will handle the tank, the install, and the paperwork, making the transition simple and seamless. Safety comes standard. Every Columbus propane visit includes a thorough safety check, which is how propane service should be done. Propane is a clean, efficient fuel. Compared to electric, it usually will cost your family less and works much, much better. Curious about how much you can save by switching to propane? Try out the Columbus Energies Propane versus Electric Calculator at columbusenergies.com/calculator, okay? Check it out. Many of my good friends use Columbus Energies. You should look into Columbus Energies. By the way, they have a really interesting Columbus Energy Smart Pay program that irons the costs out so you don't have those big seasonal jumps, right? Need a tank set of delivery? Honest answers? Call my friends at Columbus Energies. Give them a call. They're always there when you need them. Check out columbusenergies.com. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. So I'm calling as part of the problem.
Okay.
I'm a retired city worker. I draw a pension. I took my job over 35 years ago with the city, probably at a lower rate than I could have made in private industry, with the promise of a pension that I didn't have any option but to pay into, and the health insurance that comes along with it. And I think that's probably how you draw people to take public positions that may pay less than a private industry job. You can't solve the pension problem. Let's remember that some time ago, the city of New Bedford failed to pay its contribution to the retirement system, and that's part of their problem. And you have people that are still coming on the job in the city, in each and every department, public safety, DPI, etc., that I made that same promise. Mm-hmm. Say they've been on the job for 5 years and they've paid into the pension system for those 5 years. You have another 25 years or so of those folks paying into the pension system. The city has to meet that contribution. If you switch to a 401k, where is your cutoff? Brand new employees?
Right.
The city would still have that liability for over another 30 years. I don't know the answer, and I don't know that there could ever be one, but to continue to fund it. I know the people paying into the retirement plan now, into the pension system now, played a much higher percentage than I paid into, but I don't see a solution, and I'd be curious as to the mayor's proposal to solve the pension issue. As well, the city councilors and I believe the mayor pay into the retirement system as well.
Yes.
So they all have the option for a pension, however small it may be, which may cover their health insurance when they're done. And several, well, I don't know about mayors, but at least one mayor and several city councilors have left after 8 to 10 years of service on the city council and gone to other higher paying jobs with the Commonwealth, where they worked the first part of their career as part-time, higher paying jobs for the latter part of their career, and they earn a pension and they pull that pension from the state system. So there's two sides to every story.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. I just don't know how you solve that problem, because you have a guarantee that's going to be maintained and it's going to be there, and you're still making that guarantee to folks that are still taking jobs with the city. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, my friend. Thanks for your work in the police department. Do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. He laid it out, right? Although I don't characterize I get he was tongue-in-cheek, that people collecting a pension are part of the problem. The city made a promise to you. You took a job. You did your job. You're qualified for a pension. My fear is that if the state steps in, they'll give the retirees a haircut. And that would be wrong. That certainly would be wrong. But it's possible. I have to go back. I'm not saying I'm going to do it today, but I have to go back and look at how the city of Chelsea ended up. That was taken over in receivership. And again, I think the city of New Bedford is not a candidate for receivership. That's me. I could be surprised by that, but I don't think it is. It could be, but I don't think it is. But I do know that the current lieutenant governor, the former mayor of Salem, Driscoll is her name. She's a lawyer. She interviewed. She sat right here in the studio with Marcus and I. I found her very impressive. I found her service with Governor Healey, you know, not as impressive. But, you know, she's got to sing the tune that Healey has, you know, got the notes out for. But she told me, and Marcus Farrow, that she was involved in the receivership situation in the city of Chelsea. I don't know exactly what her job was. She would have been very young, probably a young lawyer, involved. I don't know if she was working for Chelsea or came in with the state. I don't know. But how did Chelsea end up in receivership, out of receivership? It was done in 1990. So there's a lot of history there, a lot of records. But I cannot compare the Chelsea of the late 80s with the current situation in the city of New Bedford. They had massive corruption in the city of Chelsea at the time, which you don't have. I don't believe massive corruption. I don't believe you do, which is a really good thing. I think John Mitchell and his administration have a lot of integrity. I don't see any corruption, but it's just a math problem. Stick around. We'll be right back.